I grew up on the west side of town. I went to Holmes High School, so that can give you kind of a geographic area. I was always singing in children's choir at church, and as I was growing up, my mother actually taught music at the Hispanic Baptist Theological Seminary on the south side, which is now, I think, the Baptist University of the Americas or something like that. And my dad was the pastor at First Baptist Church San Antonio for the Hispanic congregation. So I always went to church. Sunday night was church choir, and then Wednesday night was RAs and children's choir and things like that. So I definitely was brought up doing that on a regular basis. And so when I decided to choose an elective, when you're in middle school and you can either choose music, art, or, you know, whatever else it is, I chose choir. I had a really great seventh grade choir director at Pease Middle School, and I remember really enjoying solfege, and I remember really having a lot of friends in choir, and that became kind of, you know, a little community for me at school, and it was also a good community at church because it was always the same kids. A lot of those kids I grew up with, and then who I really still keep in touch with too. When I knew I wanted to do music, I guess, really kind of happened more when I was in high school, and I was doing the Allstate Choir competitions all the time, and doing the auditions to make the next levels, and I was working hard at something, and I really enjoyed it when I succeeded at it, and I decided, you know, this is something that I love to do, and that I see adults, I see choir directors who I really look up to, and I liked what they were doing. So I decided I was going to go ahead and do my bachelor's degree in music education. So I got a degree in choral conducting, and then
you thought at what that point, oh, I'm going to be an educator? But
yeah,
did you think,
I thought I was going to be a musician, yeah. But that was my way. You know, I was going to be a choir director, and the more I sang in undergrad, the more I realized that, you know, there are also opera singers. There's opera administration. There are musical theater singers. There are so many different facets of musicianship that you can go into. And I really liked to sing in operas, and I liked singing solos. And so I decided to continue to work vocally and train to sing in opera. Went to do my master's at University of North Texas up in Denton. And
great music school.
It's great, yeah. It was nice and big. There was plenty of opportunity. I had a really great voice teacher who actually retired right after I was done, so I was really glad to get some time with him. And I felt like I got a few roles under my belt, and I did some young artist programs while I was there too. And young artist programs also encourage you a little further to stick around, you know, your kind, and kind of you know what level you're at, you know which kind of roles you need to be working on, you know, some future goals that you're supposed to make for yourself, and you can see other people do those too. As for one specific time when I knew that I wanted to do opera, I can't tell you, because there were so many little things that kind of led you to that, you know.
Then what is it about, you know, singing opera that, you know, that slowly enticed you then? I mean, you know, because you mentioned it a few times here, and, you know, you could have been a choral instructor, you could, you know, and what is it about singing opera then that you like?
I think, you know, the genre itself is so passionate, and there's so much emotion behind it. You can, your vocal technique actually is yours, is so personal, and it's definitely something that you have, where you have something to say and to offer. And I think I found that I had something to say and to offer a little further along when you keep succeeding at something and somebody tells you you can do it. It also helps when somebody hands you a paycheck and says, hey, you can do this. And so when you get your first job, it's like, oh, maybe I can do that. I think it's nice to mix your passion with something that you do as a job too. So it's the best of both worlds.
So when you're on stage at a doing a theatrical performance, obviously there's a lot more. You're playing to lots of different audiences, I guess. You're playing to your fellow cast members, and you're working with an orchestra and stuff. But when you have a recital here, how do you like to connect with an audience? How do you like to communicate in this more intimate setting?
Yeah, that's a good question. I'm really lucky because as musicians, we get to collaborate, and I'm lucky to have worked with a lot of different coaches, pianists, conductors, and other singers, and you kind of get to choose who you get to work with in this sort of situation too. You know, when Tuesday Music Club asked me to do this, I thought, well, I'm coming straight from Palm Beach, and I know that I know my friend Greg Ritchie works there as the director of music, and he's awesome. He's a great pianist and a great collaborator and super chill, and I'm always grateful to work with him. So I was able to ask him if he could come. I'm so glad it worked out time-wise for him too. And that collaboration actually kind of makes you think about what sort of repertoire you want to offer to the audience to kind of draw in a little more of a crowd. To draw in a crowd, but then also just to communicate, you know, what you want to say for that day. We did a recital actually 3 weeks ago. It was all Spanish recital. So when choosing this one, we kept a lot of the Spanish. So we're very, very glad to do some really kind of beautiful, stunning Spanish language music. There's the Ginastera Cinco Canciones Populares Argentinas, which are very folk song oriented of Argentine folk music, but they're definitely in the, you know, early 20th century classical style. And then we're doing some Obrador songs. Fernando Obrador was a Spanish composer. And then we're doing a little melange at the very end of three different Latin American artists, Maria Grever, Agustin Lara, and then one of my favorite Argentine singer and composers, Carlos Gardel. And so to kind of make it a little more of a mix of music, also, we both love Schumann, so we chose Robert Schumann, who kind of perfectly sets a romantic style for the voice and piano together. Really, these texts are they're sad because they're all about tears, but they're also it also kind of shows the personality of Schumann very well too, because he had a very hard life dealing with depression himself, and so I think that they actually kind of show his a little snapshot of his sadness.
There's storytelling in the songs then in that regard.
Yes, for sure. I think the first two being such love songs are definitely they show that pathos and the depth of love and how a tear affects that. And then the final one actually is a Kerner poem about the sadness of man, and really talks deeply about depression. In the last line, he says something to the effect of, while everybody's asleep, some men cry all night long, and then you wake up and you think that everything is light. And I think that was his little homage to his own sadness that he was dealing with, you know, for all of his life. Also musically and pianistically, it goes the same way, that the end of that song kind of ends and unended, you know, unresolved. Yeah. And but it's a beautiful piece of music that's just so epic and grand, but then at the end it's doesn't finish almost, you know.
Yeah. It's interesting that you're going to be singing the Obrador, because I think Ava, you mentioned, we were talking about off mic earlier, she sang at least a couple of these same tunes. So it's going to be great to compare, you know, Al Amor, she sang, you know.
She sang Al Amor. Yes, that's awesome. Great.
Yeah, so that's really fantastic. How did you choose his piece?
You know, these are three that I've loved to hear other people sing. So when we did our Spanish recital, I wanted to choose some Argentine composer, a Spanish composer, a Mexican composer, and so we kind of got a little mix of Latin American composers, and he was the Spanish one that I really liked the most for his songs. I mean, they're all three so charming of poetry. They're very, very cute and light, but then, you know, they're super romantic at the same time. So it's a nice little sort of kiss of romance. Yeah.
Cool. I read also in here that you sang with Isabel Leonard at the Met, you know, and the Barbara Seville. Yeah. I'm curious, was that, did you do the English language version as well as the Italian?
Yes. No, I've done the Italian before, but the one at the Met was the English language version for the family performances during the holidays this last December, yeah. And, Isabel's great. We also, we sang in Japan together, actually, a couple of summers ago at the Saito Kinin Festival in Matsumoto, and we did the double bill, actually, of I was in L'Heure Espagnole, and it was double billed with L'Enfant et les Sortilèges, which actually just won the Grammy for the best opera recording, which is awesome for them and for that cast. It was crazy to kind of be there watching that happen, and they should be very proud. It was such great performances. Yeah,
I spoke to her just before the Met did that English language version one, and she was really excited about it, and especially about bringing opera to families and being able to and with the live in HD that people are able to see it, you know, in that way as well. So you know, how do you feel about, you know, carrying on and bringing these stories and these and this art form to younger generations?
I think it's definitely important. I had such a good time last night talking to the Children's Chorus of San Antonio about basically asking them and me kind of finding out why we sing, why do we make music, what's it for, and I think in the end we kind of decided together that we are trying to transform people. And it sounds like, you know, a very hippy-dippy way of saying that, you know, everybody's going crazy in the audiences, but really we're trying to make people listen to what we have to communicate. So that also means that we're able to communicate, and then we draw communities together. And really things like you know, the Met and HD is a way that we can draw communities that we wouldn't be able to reach otherwise, and people who wouldn't be able to watch opera otherwise in the theater at the Met. Yeah, of course, but if they can go to their local theater and see that, that'd be great. If they can come, you know, to a Tuesday at 2 o'clock recital in their town, that'd be awesome. If Tuesday Music Club was every Tuesday, you know, can you imagine the kind of community that would form? It would be great. So I think it's definitely important that we as musicians are constantly asking ourselves why we're doing this, and then we're able to communicate, we're able to draw people in order to make communities better.
Cool. Yeah. Last question is, you know, looking ahead, what's that one role or that one thing that you're hoping, you know what, I want to hit that someday. I want to be able to sing that role. What's on your wish list of something?
You know, today I'm actually singing one of the most famous arias in the repertoire from Elixir of Love, Una Furtiva Lagrima, and I have never performed the role. I don't know why it hasn't happened yet, but it's going to happen hopefully soon. And that's actually one of those dream roles that I want to sing a few times, and I think it took a little bit of age, and I think it's about time that it's going to happen, and I, you know, even if it happens in, you know, somebody's basement, that'd be fine.
Hey, David, thank you very much.
Thanks
really appreciate
so much,
it.
Nathan, appreciate it.